أستاذ أحمد. Okay, that's what we're gonna do, inshallah. And I think it was important what he said is take wudu. I think all the brothers agreed that it was important to start with wudu. So I don't know if we take one week fiqh of wudu and 1 week tafsir. Either way, we'll discuss it after the class, inshallah. Okay, wudu. We're going to start off with wudu and the fiqh of wudu. And I'm not going to go too extensive in details that most of us don't need. And I'm not going to be too brief if there's a matter that was disputed among scholars. So bear with me, take some good notes, because inshallah we're going to... He didn't know nothing. Why didn't you say it then before he said it? What's the proof for wudu? What's the proof for wudu? وجوهكم وأيديكم إلى المرافق وامسحوا برؤوسكم وأرجلكم إلى الكعبين. The steps of wudu are mentioned in Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse number 6. That's the first one. The second proof of that is Allah does not accept. The Prophet ﷺ said, Allah does not accept the prayer of any of you unless he performs wudu. لا يقبل الله صلاة أحدكم إذا أحدث حتى يتوضأ. The prayer of any of you, if his wudu of course is invalidated until he makes wudu. You got a verse, usually in fiqh, when we talk about any issue, we bring the proof from the Quran, the Sunnah, and what's the third one? What's the third proof? What is it? Ijtihad. You don't need ijtihad in Ijma. Meaning consensus of all scholars. Ijma, and as I mentioned before, ijma could be a stronger proof than the Quran and the Sunnah for a scholar. How could it be? Because if you see that there's an issue and it's real ijma, a lot of issues, some scholars claim there's ijma and they know in another part of the world it was disputed. Ijma means all the scholars of the right now, if all the ummah agree on one thing, that's like it's a verse in the Quran. You must do it, because the ummah never unites on anything wrong. This is nearly impossible now. You can't even get ijma' of the scholars on any opinion now. It has to be all the scholars from Egypt to the United States to Mauritania to Saudiya. All these got to unite on something. This, you know, after the Sahaba died, radiallahu anhum, it's nearly hard to even find the ijma'. It's very hard. You find someone say ijma' after Imam Malik's time, you find a whole bunch of other people come and say, no, your ijma' is wrong. You find some guy... some outskirts of some town who said that opinion is wrong. So if one person or one scholar says it's wrong, that means it's not an ijma. If there is an ijma, it's like it's in the Quran. The Prophet said it. My ummah does not unite on something wrong. Whether it could be the category of the big scholars or the leaders or the people themselves. If there's an ijma' on something, it's over and done with. If there's a matter disputed in the past, it's not going to happen, actually. So there's no need to talk about it. Now there's not going to be ijma' happen. Impossible. But we can't even unite on the meaning of la ilaha illallah today. How are we going to unite on anything less than that? So, okay, this is the first point. We got three proof on it. Next thing, the grant for one who makes wudu. You know the hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you make wudu from every body part you wash along with it, as the water is dripping, the sins fall out. You wash your hands, you may have sins that your hands committed. As the water is dripping out, Allah will forgive the sins of that. And there's another hadith the Prophet ﷺ said, can you imagine if you take a bath from a water, fresh water that's floating in front of your house every day, five times a day? So the Prophet ﷺ said, can you imagine if there is a water flowing in front of you and you take a shower or bath from it 5 times a day? Does anyone become dirty? Take 5 showers a day. You take one these days and you won't become dirty or smelly. Imagine if you take 5 a day. They said, of course no one's going to be filthy. He said, that's what wudu is to your sins. You take 5 wudu a day, Allah will purify you from your sins with that wudu. The Prophet Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do you want me to tell you that which Allah erases your sins with and raises your place in heaven? The Sahaba said, yes, O Prophet of Allah. He said, make an ablution or perform in wudu and continuously walk into the masjid. Two things I mentioned. What's the third one? I mentioned that making wudu, that things that will raise your place, erase your sins and raise your place in heaven, is continuously walk into the masjid and perform in wudu for your prayers. And the Prophet,
driving
is okay. Actually, the opinion of some scholars that driving and walking, inshallah, is the same ajr. The one walking may get more ajr, but the one driving gets the same ajr as one who raises his foot and puts it down. He gets equivalent to that. But someone who walked had more effort, so he gets more ajr than that. But you get the ajr of every step, that equivalent to every step that was taken. Sometimes there is. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it was his desire to see the people who come after him, who he didn't see, and he said that he will see them on the judgment day. And the Sahaba said, okay, how are you going to know them on the judgment day? He said they're going to have a sign on their faces and on their body parts where they make wudu from the effect of doing wudu. And that's how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam brings them to the house where they drink water. He knows them on their forehead is some kind of symbolic thing that they have because of their wudu, and also on their other body parts of wudu is other body parts is other nur that the Prophet ﷺ will know them by when they want to make when they go near the house. Okay, let us start with the wudu, the ordains of the wudu. First issue we're gonna talk. The first thing we said is the proof for wudu. Second is what? Some of the grants for wudu. The third thing is we need the fara'ib of the wudu, the ordains of the wudu. The first part of the wudu is the niyyah. You have to have a niyyah in every single thing you do. You can't just go and do things without a niyyah, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Innama al-a'malu bi-niyyah." What do you say when you make a niyyah, Muhammad? What do you say when you make wudu? Niyyah, your intention. How do you say your niyyah? Yeah. Why not? Why don't you say it? Okay. Alright, that's right. You don't say nothing, it's in your heart. When I get up here, we're going to pray here after, for example. I go up to the bathroom and I want to make wudu and I want to come back. Why did I leave here? That's the niyyah. I left to make wudu. You make your intention that you're making wudu for the sake of Allah. Okay. What's the first matter of wudu, Ahmed? What's the first thing we do? Ordain. First physical ordain of wudu. The first?
Wajib.
Okay, he's right. No, he's right. Huh? No, we're going to talk about that later. The things that are disputed, I'll mention them, inshallah, in a minute. But the first clear ordain is the face. Washing the face. What about the hands? We'll get to that. Don't worry about that. But the first, huh? We're talking about what did I say? I said the categories are the ordains. We're talking about the ordains. If you miss it, you miss the wudu. We're going to get to the sunan. This is the next category after this. But now we're talking about that. You don't have niyyah, your wudu is not good. You don't wash your face, your wudu is not good. So the first one is, how about washing? How do you wash? If you just put water on your face and doesn't drip down, is that permissible? You know, you could use, wash your hand, just the water can, you know, the water doesn't drip down. Is that permissible or not? It's permissible, but the ghusl in the sense is that it must be dripping to the point where it drips, meaning you can't just like put a little bit of water on your hand and let it come all over your hand and not drip to the point where it becomes liquid all over your hand. You have to let it drip to the point it drips. You have to put, this is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you look, just let it wait around on your hand, it's no problem. It's not break, does not break a wudu. But the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is ghusl. Ghusl means you have to wash and it has to drip. It has the effect of dripping after you have it.
Huh?
You have to drip. It has to be liquid. No, you could exactly, in Arabic it's called masah. You could wait on it.
You put extra water.
Yes, you put extra water to the point. There's two words in Arabic. There's ghusl and there's masah. Masah is, you know, just wipe on it, but it doesn't drip. Just like, but the ghusl has to drip, or should drip. Okay, what's the definition of a face? What's the definition of a face? From ear to ear, you know, the beginning of your ear to the ear, and from the beginning of where the hair starts all the way to under your chin. From, huh? We'll talk about the beard later on. Don't worry about that. Under the chin, to the point where right under the chin starts, that's no longer your face. We'll talk about the extra. Bear with me, Shana. We'll talk about washing extra. Okay, so we said from the top where the hair starts all the way to under the chin, from one ear to another ear. Okay. Then, huh? Right now, not including the ears. We didn't start on the ears yet, but this is the face only. Okay, what about madmada and istinshaq? Who said that? What's your proof on that? Some scholars say that madmada and istinshaq is? Madmada is to put water in your mouth and gargle it. And istinshaq is to take water in your nose and inhale it. You gotta inhale it. You can't do like some people do, they just touch their nose and they let it go. You gotta inhale. In fact, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said extensively inhale it. Yes, it doesn't hurt you. It's, in fact, it's good for your health. You know, Muhammad Ali, the boxer, used to inhale water. I don't know for how long of a time when he was a boxer, because when you do that, it makes your muscles inside strong. When someone punches you or something, you won't bleed. Seriously, it's good for your health. So if you get used to it, if you get used to it, it will not bother you. And you should. The Prophet said extensively inhale unless you're fasting. Istinshaq is inhaling with your nose, and madmada is with your mouth. How is it? Yeah, you should. Blow your nose. Your nose. Yes, you have to blow your nose. If you inhale, you have to blow your nose, of course.
Each time?
Huh?
Each time?
Yes.
Somebody told me just one time.
No. We're going to get to how many times the Prophet made wudu and what is one more.
Blow your nose plus inhaling the water.
You inhale first, you don't blow first. Yes, yes, yes. Well, I wouldn't go to the extent of saying not count, but you're not doing your wudu right. And something, why we study this in detail, something you do five times a day, you gotta perfect it. Perfect it. You can't just, if it was something like a Eid prayer, we do it once a year, say if there's shortcoming in it, okay. But this is something we do five times a day. We have to perfect it. Okay, so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let me explain now. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Maybe if you wait until we're done with the fara'id, then we ask the question.
You could go extensively.
Huh?
You could just keep, you know, starting. You could never stop. You know what I'm saying? So extensively.
Yes. Really, you should go. The Prophet specified that.
But if I
do,
huh? I go on. I'm
just not the water. Muhammad. Okay. Okay. Listen. The questions will take it after each section. We're doing the fara'id. Let's do the fara'id first. The first one is niyyah. The second one is washing the face. Included in washing the face is the mouth and the istinshaq. The mouth is what is it in Arabic?
Al-fuh.
What is it in Arabic? Madmada. Madmada, the definition of madmada in Arabic is to put water in your mouth and to move it around and then to spit it back out. This is the definition of madmada. Definition of istinshaq is to inhale, is to inhale water in your nose and then let it back out, blow it out. The proof for madmada, it's true from scholars said it's sunnah. Why did they say sunnah? Because it's not in the ayah. However, we know that if the Prophet says something, and wudu is one of the best examples, that if the Prophet says something, it's an ordain. If he says something and continuously does it, it's more of an ordain. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِذَا تَوَضَّأْتَ فَمَضْمِضْ. If you make wudu, then do what? مَضْمَضَ. Gargle. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if someone of you makes wudu, this is for the inhalant in the nose of water. The Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَا تَوَضَّأَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيَجْعَلْ فِي أَنْفِهِ مَا ثُمَّ لِيَنْتَسَرْ. If any one of you makes wudu, and all these listen, these hadith come in the matter of ordain. If any of you make wudu, then let him put in his nose water, then blow it out. فَلْيَنْتَسَرْ means let him blow it out. Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu did that. Gargled water and blew in his nose and blew it, and he said, this is the wudu of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, بالغ في الاستنشاق إلا أن تكون صائما. Extensively inhale it unless you're fasting. بالغ في الاستنشاق إلا أن تكون صائما. Okay, we got the niyyah. The first thing after the niyyah, in order now, after you have the proof, after the, in order, what do you do?
The
niyyah. But I didn't say in order, Ahmed. Ahmed, the niyyah. Yusuf. How do you make wudu, Yusuf? Okay. Face or the mouth first and then the nose?
The mouth first,
in
the nose,
okay.
And then
just the face, and then the mouth. No, you guys got confused because I said the face first. Because we're talking about the face. You do the mouth first, the nose, then the face. All of that is included in the face. Anyone here does the face first?
You do an order.
Yes, the order. The order is sunnah. We're gonna find out the order is actually more of a part. Some scholars say sunnah, but it's fard. The madmada, then the istinshaq, then the face. And you have proof for each one of them. But according to the scholars, if you open any book of fiqh, you're going to find it under what? Under the face. Because your nose and your mouth are part of the face.
I follow the order,
then nose, then face. And you have, and you have. Is that what you do, Abbasi?
I feel that I find it's a good idea because it was the same which I used to do.
Okay, that's good. Okay, now the next, number three, we said the nose and the mouth are part of the face. That's what we brought it under there. Washing the hands to the mirfaq. What's the mirfaq? Is the elbow included or not?
Yes.
Ila in the Arabic language means to, but it includes the mirfaq. The mirfaq is the elbow on both of your hands. Okay, the next one. Wait a minute. I said we're going to get to that. I'm going in order. I'm going in precise order. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then used to. What did he do after that? His hair. How do you wipe his hair? Yes. In the Quran, from the house, in the verse. In the past, how did he do it? Can someone tell me hadith? He put water on his hands, and go start from the front and go backwards. Go forward and backwards. This, huh? This is A. Under the wipe in the head, we got A.
How far did we go?
A is going, taking, putting water on your hands, going, starting from the front, going to the back. Yes, all the way to the beginning of the neck, where your hair ends, and back.
He told me
just like that.
Huh? He told me he went back one more time, third time.
Hold on. Please. We're never gonna get anywhere like this. That's a hadith. That description is a hadith by some of the Sahaba, how the Prophet ﷺ did it. This is A, how you wipe it. The second one, this is exactly right. مَسَحَ رَأْسَهُ فَأَقْبَلَ بِهِمَا وَأَكْبَرَ مَسَحَ رَأْسَهُ فَأَقْبَلَ بِهِمَا وَأَكْبَرَ. It's narrated by all six Imams, Bukhari, Muslim, Tirmidhi, Nisa'i, Ibn Majah. The Prophet ﷺ put water in his hand and went backwards, then forwards. That's the hadith. That's the meaning of the hadith. Yes, go backwards and forwards. There's another hadith, a lot of other hadith that describe it the same way. Okay, there's B, that the Prophet ﷺ wiped on his turban. So if you're wearing a turban, or you're wearing a hat, or something that it's very hard for you to take it off, the Prophet ﷺ wiped on his turban in a hadith narrated by Amr ibn Umayyah. He said, رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يمسح على عماماته وخفه. I seen the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wipe on his turban and on his khuf. I seen the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wipe on his turban and on his khuf. And this applies not only to turban. If you have a hat or something that, you know, you have to go out of your way to take it off, like a sister who's wearing a scarf on her head and it's going to be bothersome for her to go and take it off, then she can wipe on that, according to this hadith. Amr ibn Umayyah. The next hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, امسحوا على الخفين. نعم. Khuf is what they used to wear of leather, like socks. Socks, but leather. Not socks. Actually, that point I'm going to talk about it in details. Can you wipe on your socks or not? I'm going to get to that point after wudu. First issue we're going to talk about after wudu, inshallah, is can you wipe on your socks or not? In extreme detail, I'm going to bring proof on that. But this hadith, when you say khuf, it means not the socks of cotton, but rather the ones of leather. You're right, you know, that was good. But wait till we're done with the head first. We got 3 points. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the third way he wiped on his head was he would wipe on part of his head, and then continue on to his turban. So he did that. You know, sometimes maybe the turban's back, you know, some people put lost some of the hair. He would wipe on it, or he would raise his turban and wipe on part of his head and then continue on his turban. You wipe right here, wipe your right here, and then continue on, not on his hair, but left. Maybe lifted it up a little bit, or maybe it was back a little bit.
The part is there, and the part is
and the rest is the turban.
Yeah.
So we
right here to him.
Huh?
Right here to him. Like for him, like you wipe two hands or one hand.
The first one is two hands, and the second one is two hands. The third one, Allahu A'lam. We don't have a description if it's two or three hands, or two or one hand. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for all those who want to write it, Mughira ibn Shu'bah narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tawadda'a famasaha binasiyatihi wa ala al-amama wal-khuffain. Tawadda' the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he wiped on his forehead and then on the amama. What's nasiyah mean in Arabic?
Forehead.
Yusuf. Ahmed. Forehead. The beginning. This is nasiyah. Nasiyah is biyadik. The beginning. So he used to wipe here and then on the turban. Okay, now we go to the ears. You do the ears. Some people consider ears sunnah as well. Why? Why? It's not in the Quran. It's not in the verse. The Prophet ﷺ did it, and he said, "Al-udunani min ar-ras." In the way I'm telling you the way I did it, when I did it, actually, I did it for another class that I was teaching on wudu. And there was 26 narrations of the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, 26 different narrations of how the Prophet did wudu, meaning 26 sahaba described in detail, let alone the ones that, you know, they described part of the wudu. These are 26 who described in detail the Prophet's wudu. All of them do it, describe it exactly like we're saying it today. Okay, you do it. How do you do it? The Prophet ﷺ, they described it. You put your feet. You have to tell me how they did it, how you do it. No wise guy over here. Tell me how they did it.
Mm-hmm.
How do you do your ears?
Mm-hmm.
No, you use.
Okay.
Yes, you put your ears in and you wash with you wait with this the interior towards your head. You put your fingers in and you wipe, you know, the exterior like this, and of course this area is gonna touch, you know, like this. Everyone see that? Okay, you put your fingers in your ear and your thumbs, wipe the inside part while your index finger, the side of them, wipe the exterior part of your ears.
So the full description, head, thumb,
ear. Yes. Describe it again. You put your index finger in your ears and then with your thumb you wipe the interior part of your ear that's closest to your head, the side that's closest to your head, and with your index finger you wipe the exterior part of your ear.
This is the back part, and this is the interior.
The interior towards your head, I said towards your head. The interior towards your head. I said the one closest to your head. Which is closest to your head?
This is closest to your head.
Forget the word.
This is the back part. The phone goes like this guy right here.
You know, Muhammad has to give his input on everything and disturb everything.
I need to make sure.
You know, I don't want to see you around in my classes before.
I just want to make sure.
Do you get no water? What number is this? What number is that?
Five.
What number? Where did you get five from?
Yeah.
Please give me attention. Come on, guys. Where did you get number five from? Where did you get number five from?
It's number four.
Why is it number four? Part of the head. Exactly. You can't say it's number five because it's included within the head. That's why it's not mentioned in the Quran, because it's included in the head. Do you get new water for your ears or no?
No.
No new water for the ear. There's a weak hadith that says you get new water for your ear, but it's a weak hadith. So we don't have a hadith on that. Okay, the last part is what?
وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ
أَرْجُلَكُمْ is your feet up to your ankles. Your ankles. We'll get to that. It doesn't say white. The feet, no, it's not. It's long. The translation is long if it says that. You wash your feet up to your ankles, and you know the hadith on that. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sahaba, as narrated by Ibn Umar, they were on a journey. And they were so tired from that journey that when it came to wudu, you know how you're tired. You're about to pass out, but you want to pray and go to sleep or rest from their long journeys. And some of them, because of that, didn't. Part of their feet were not washed right. Part. Some say even to the point of it's a little dot that the Prophet ﷺ were upset, meaning very small. So the Prophet ﷺ says, "Woe to the heels from hellfire! Woe to the heels from hellfire!" Meaning you gotta wash all the feet up to the ankles. The last point of the fara'id is the tartib. You gotta do it in order, like I said it. Allah, one of the biggest proof that you must do it in order is that Allah mentioned it in this order. To more so than that, in the Arabic language, I can sound it. Well, what do you say? Well, you been, man. You must start on some good stuff. The reason it's ordained is because the verse in the Quran says the order, and also in it is wiping your head and then washing your feet. The Arabic never breaks something like that. You know, they'll mention it in order. They'll say washing in one category and wiping in another category. Allah broke the chain of washing and put in it something you wipe. Why? Because the order is very important. In the Arabic language, you don't break something like this, and not just washing, I mean, you don't break the chain that goes on for something out of it. You mention first washing, then you mention wiping. However, Allah went out of the norm of the regular Arabic language and mentioned wiping in between washing. Why? Why?
To follow the order.
And more so, the hadith, the Prophet said, ابدأوا بما بدأ الله به. Start with what Allah started with, meaning go in the order that Allah started with. And number three proof on the order is that the Sahaba and the Prophet ﷺ never ever left this order. Okay. Go ahead. We'll get to that. That's going to be in the Sunnah, inshallah. Go ahead.
What were you saying about Abraham Wilson and what is it?
Oh, Allah ordered us to wipe the head, right? Not wash the head. So that in the verse, Allah mentioned in the order we're supposed to do it. So between washing the hand and washing the feet, Allah put in the middle, wiping your head, which is out of the Arabic norm. In the Arabic norm, you would say, okay, here's the things you wash, and here's the thing you wipe. But no, he broke the chain of washing and wiping and put in it something out of the norm, which is wiping. Why? To save the order that we have.
The second question is, for the women, do they like go back to their head and their back?
Yes. If they have long hair, they don't have to go all the way down with that long hair. They just do the head part of it. That's the oath. And if they're like in a public area where it's too high for them to take the scarf off or something, make qiyas on how the Prophet ﷺ wiped on his turban and wiped on his one of his hats. A khimar is a hat known back then that the Prophet ﷺ did wipe on, so a woman can wipe on that as well. I wouldn't say if it's too tough. I would say if it's not comfortable for them to wipe on it, then they could do that. No, you have to do the ear. You have to do the ear. No, you don't do part of your hair. You can't do part of the hair. You should do, if you do part of the hair, you wipe on a hat or something you have on there. But you should pass your hat hand over all your entire head. But it doesn't have to be your hair itself. Like we mentioned, there were three ways that the Prophet ﷺ wiped his head. Someone can't go just touch his forehead like this. Some people think that, because they take part of the hadith. Yeah, the Prophet did wipe on his forehead, but he continued on his turban. So if there's a hat or something or a turban coming halfway, and he wipes on his hair and continues on the hat, that's fine. But you can't just tap the front of your hair like some people think, and then think that's it. The Prophet ﷺ wiped his forehead and continued on his entire head, but over the turban.
You start from the bottom, the earlobe,
yes.
You went up, you
yes.
Come back down, or you
yes.
Stay there?
You work your way down.
You come back down?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, it's a good question.
That is a good question.
The only thing you didn't wash is hair and...
Yes. Okay, Sunan of Wudu. First one is Tasmiyah, Bismillah. Some scholars say it's an ordain, and some scholars say it's a sunnah. Some scholars put it with a... what's the proof that it's ordained is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "La wudu'a liman lam yadhkur isma Allah alayhi." There is no wudu for someone who doesn't say the name of Allah. However, the scholars who say it's ordained take the hadith literally. They say that means you don't say Bismillah, your wudu is invalid. And some scholars say no, it means that you don't get the full ajr of the way it's worded. That means you don't get the full ajr of the wudu if you don't say Bismillah. I tend to believe it's a grayish area where I think both arguments are very strong. And Allah left us these things like this to make it easy upon us. But no one should leave saying Bismillah unless they forget it. I mean, it's just Bismillah. In this one, you don't even say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. It's an innovation to add ar-Rahman ar-Rahim to this. Just say Bismillah. Of course you move your lips.
In the bathroom?
Yes, you can move your lips in the bathroom. However, the toilet area must be cool. Our bathroom is not what you consider a real bathroom. a real bathroom is the toilet area. That's how the old bathrooms were. And also, not only that, the bathroom of the back then is when they were actually using the bathroom itself as well. They didn't have like a room like we have today. This is like almost like a bedroom we have today, the bathrooms that we have. But if the toilet area is closed, yes, you can say Bismillah. But it's better to say outside and then walk in the bathroom.
So you can say outside and walk?
Yes. It may be better even to do.
You can say
Allah in the Bismillah? No, not in situations where the Prophet taught you. Like when you eat, what do you say? Bismillah. Don't say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. If you have a final and you want to start your final, say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Because we don't have precise proof on that, you know? But areas where the Prophet specified, don't go over it. You know, he said, when you eat, say Bismillah. When you do wudu, say Bismillah. He didn't say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. But you're doing other things. You want to write a letter to someone. Say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You know, you could say, because it was left an open area. It's not an innovation. That's good. Bismillah wa bihamdi, bismik Allahumma, any way you want, where the Prophet did not precisely tell us. Where he precisely told us, don't go over it.
Wait, you can't say Bismillah wa bihamdi at the beginning of August?
No, you can't say Bismillah wa bihamdi, only Bismillah.
If Allah has written down what you said before, during, and after.
What you say during? What do you say during? Is it dua? A dua? We'll get to that inshallah. That's the innovation. That quickly to tell you about that. There's dua that people say during wudu every time you wash your hand. Okay, here's the dua for washing your hand. Here's the dua for your other hand. All that is an innovation. It's haram to do that. You get sinned for doing that. Yes, there's no authentic hadith on that.
I thought you were more. Yeah.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah.
We are not going about ordering. Which is first?
Niyya, then basmala. Niyya, then basmala.
How do you make
niyya? Yes.
How do you make niyya? You just say that I'm going to do you.
Niyya? How is it? Yeah, how is it, Muhammad?
It's in your heart.
It's in your heart.
You get up to this. You get up going about the thing that you can say loudly, or you can move your lips.
Yes, and if you say a little bit loud, Bismillah, or you just, that's enough. You know, just utter it. But you have to move your lips. You can't, in your mind, say Bismillah. That's not saying it.
Look like
that. That yes.
It has to come before the thought, or can you say in the middle of it?
If you forget, inshallah, if you say it in the middle, it's fine, inshallah. But you should always, if you get used to it, I don't think you'll forget. It'll be rare that you forget. Something you do 5 times a day, I don't think you forget. Okay, don't forget.
What if, I remember that.
Okay, number two is the miswak. Sunnah of the wudu is the miswak. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what is your question? Maybe we're not going to get to it. Stay and I'll tell you. The neck? Oh, that's good you asked that. See, that's good. Why didn't we mention the neck? It's not included. Very good point. There is a weak hadith on that, and it's not included. The Prophet ﷺ, the Sahaba, there were some who did the wudu, I'm telling you, exactly, precisely. I put all the hadith in front of me. When I pulled these out to outline them, I pulled them, they're all precise like each other. And some of them, at the end of their wudu, some of them describe their wudu, they say, this is the wudu that the Prophet taught us, and after he did it, he said, فَمَنْ زَادَ فَقَدْ أَسَاءَ وَتَعَدَّ وَظَلَمْ. Whomever adds anything to this, he has done bad and transgressed his boundaries and become oppressive. Meaning, this is the limit right here. You go a little bit further, you know, you try to say it may be better to do your neck or your hands or stuff. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sahaba knew that the Prophet, after he did the wudu, said, whomever transgresses boundaries, he has committed a sin, a sah, the adda, went beyond his boundaries, and dhalam, oppressed. So you should stick to the right wudu.
What's the meaning behind this hadith that people call it?
Which one? The dua?
The hadith about the neck. And we should, what's the rule that we should follow as the Sahaba did, not as they said?
No, if it's a weak hadith, you don't use a weak hadith. We don't use weak hadith. We don't use weak hadith.
No, but you said something that you should do as the Sahaba does, not as you said.
This is totally different issue. If there's a contradiction a Sahabi said something and he did something else, assuming that happened. I don't know if he did that. From the authentic hadith I know, I don't know of any Sahabi who did it authentically. So the Prophet Muhammad said, they narrated he did something, and someone said something, the Sahabi said something. The rule by the vast majority of the scholars, you take what the Prophet said, what he narrated, not what the Sahabi did. Okay, the second one is... We'll get to that. No, that's not innovation. The innovation is there. The second one is the miswak. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "لولا أن أشق على أمتي لأمرتهم بالسواك عند كل وضوء." If I didn't think it was hard on my ummah, I would have made it an ordain to do a siwak before every wudu. And in another narration, where? What is it? عند كل صلاة. But we use this narration to interpret that one, meaning it's near wudu that you use the miswak. And this actually, this hadith has the side note about it, is that what does it mean when the Prophet ﷺ said, if it wasn't hard on my ummah, I would order them to use the miswak. What does that mean? That means the Prophet is telling you, if I say something and order you, it's like an order in the Quran. If I say grow the beard, if I say the two ears are from the head, if I say the madmadah and istinshaq, you know, most of the scholars don't think that the madmadah and istinshaq are part of the old deeds of the wudu, because they're not in the ayah, they're in the hadith. But here, this is just a side note. The Prophet said, if I didn't think it was hard on this ummah, I would have ordered them in the suwak. Meaning, had I said, use your suwak, what happened? It's an order. وَمَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوا. Whatever the Prophet says, take it.
You said
that. No. If he does something and he doesn't order, it's not a fault. It's a sunnah. It's not. But over here, the Prophet ﷺ says, there's no wudu for someone who doesn't say Bismillah. But the scholar is not in an order format. This doesn't say Bismillah. It says, there's no wudu if you don't say Bismillah in it. So some scholars say, we take it literally. Meaning, if you don't say Bismillah, you got no wudu. Some scholars say, no, we don't take it literally. That means you don't get the full reward of wudu if you don't say Bismillah. Both, I think, are very strong opinions. Had he said, say Bismillah, like he said, if you make wudu, tamadmad, gargle. If you make wudu, gargle. That's the order format. The way it's said in Arabic itself. Had he said the same about Bismillah, would have been a different story.
Could you just ask the question?
Well, if it's concerning the topic we're talking about, yeah. But if it's not, just give us, inshallah, I'll say as long as it takes to answer the question. But it sort of distracts. But that's what Yusuf meant. He meant, if it's on the topic itself, inshallah, we'll answer. Especially a matter like this, you know, everyone has questions because we do it five times a day. Start thinking, you know, I forgot this.
So when exactly
are
you doing what? Have you doing gargle or...
Before wudu or after wudu. Inda kulli means the beginning of every wudu. But if you use the after, inshallah, it's not a problem, because there's a hadith that says inda kulli salah, meaning the beginning of every prayer. But inda kulli wudu in Arabic means at the beginning of every wudu. No, before. This is Arab wudu. This is Arab wudu.
So this is the order now, niyya.
Basmala, miswak, or miswak, niya, basmala.
What
is the order? Niya, basmala. Miswak is way before, because it's out of wudu. It's way before. Before you start your wudu. Okay, number three of the sunan. Ghaslul kaffain thalath marrat. How come we don't say washing the hands is a part of the wudu? We say it's a sunnah. Washing your hands three times. He didn't do it. Awsa al-Thaqafi radiallahu anhu said, I seen the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prior to making wudu, wash his hands 3 times. He didn't order it. The Sahaba narrated that the Prophet ﷺ did it. That makes it a sunnah. That's why we consider washing your hands. So now, Ahmed, what's the order? Tell me the orders now. What's this?
The order we talked about is what?
Okay.
And then niyyah.
Then?
And then the smell.
Then?
Then lastly, the
day. That's good, mashallah.
Can you indicate that you need the tahalkul?
Wait for the tahalkul. Allah khalik, ya. Allah khalik. Allah khalik, wait.
This wash is now before everything?
Before wudu, yes.
Before niyyah?
Before everything, yes.
Not part of it.
Yes.
So,
not part.
If I get up to start brushing, like, this wash, then I go make wudu, then I go to make niyyah? No, it's not to be after the niyyah. It can only be after the niyyah.
It's not part of wudu. Ainda means prior to starting your wudu. Ainda means prior to even your wudu. In Arabic language, ainda means has the wudu, has ainda, right before it.
See, that's what I'm saying. It's a pitfall, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm going to go do miswak for the sake of doing wudu. I've already made my niyyah to make wudu.
Yeah. Well, if it comes within like that, okay, that's the difference. If you can't control your niyyah like that, okay. But inda in Arabic means prior. If I say inda al-bab means right before the door. Doesn't mean left. I don't know of any scholar who said it's farad. It's farad. This is B. A is sunnah when in any wudu. If you wake up in the morning, it is farad. If you wake up in the morning, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "إِذَا اسْتَيْقَظَ أَحَدُكُم مِن نَوْمِهِ فَلَا يَغْمِسْ يَدَهُ فِي الْإِنَاحِ حَتَّى يَغْسِلْهَا ثَلَاثًا."
He said that.
Yeah, that's a different story. The next scholar said it. The Prophet sallallahu said, "If you wake up in the morning, wash your hands because you don't know where your hand has slept or has gone." إِذَا اسْتَيْقَظَ أَحَدُكُم مِن نَوْمِهِ فلا يغمس يده في الإناء حتى يغسلها ثلاثا. إذا استيقظ أحدكم من نومه فليغسل يده فإنه لا يدري أين باتت. هذا هو حديث. أوكي عباسي. I don't know of any hadith like that the hands come out like this. What we know in the hadith we mentioned, I don't know if you were here, is that the Prophet ﷺ started at the end and took them back and then went back forward with his hands. I don't know of any hadith, I don't know if you know any, that you go like this. Yes, I know that. I've heard that before, but I was never able to find the hadith. The hadith we have is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam masaha bi ra'sah fa'aqbala bihima wa ajbar. He wiped his head, he took him back, and then he went back forward. That's what he was then bothering you about. We're going to get to that. Yes.
Now,
that's an important point. That's important. Huh? Yes.
From years.
Right to her. Right to her. That's your hand. We go to wrist. You don't know where your hand bent. What you did, you know.
Before I sleep.
While sleeping. Okay. The number four.
How many times?
The hands? Three. Three times. أوس الثقفي قد رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم توضأ. ها؟ نو. فغسل يديه ثلاثا. So he said ثلاثا in the hadith. Okay, the next sunnah is تخليل اللحية. كان صلى الله عليه وسلم, the first hadith is كان صلى الله عليه وسلم يخلل لحيته. The second one, how do you خلل لحيتك؟ How do you do the lihya? Now if you have a sharp beard, it's something you don't have to worry about.
This is during washing the face, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
How do you do it?
So by upper hand, you start the matmama and the shaft and the right.
That's good. That's exactly right. That's how he did it. تحليل اللحية. We got two hadith. The first one says, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يخلي اللحية. He used to put his fingers to it. How did he do it? Another hadith comes and tells you, أدخل الماء تحت حنكه وخلله. أدخل الماء تحت حنكه means he put his hands under his beard and put them out like Ahmed did. Do it again. Show. Exactly. Some people think it's only you go like this, you know, wipe your beard like this.
Yes.
But تخليل اللحية doesn't mean that. تخليل اللحية means to go under حنك. What's the حنك? Right here. Under your hand and put it outwards.
Can you just do it once?
Yes, the beard is once. And if you do it every time, it's fine. That's the you should do it at least once. Give us the orders now.
So the order now, niya, bismillah, wash hands, ghasl fan, then shaykh,
ghasl waj,
including
the beard. Then the tahqiq takhlil. تخليل اللحية means put your fingers in the beard.
I have a question now. For each step, 3 times.
We're gonna get to that. How many times you do it? Okay, that's the sunnah. Part of it is the sunnah. Of course, the ordain is one, but we're gonna get to the point that
washing your hands, it has to come in the order of the ascending, or can you do it like afterwards?
What do you mean?
Like when you wash your hands before you wash your face, right?
Yes, sunnah. You have to wash.
You wash your hands after you do everything.
No, you should wash your hands before. You should do it like the Prophet did it. Like the Prophet did it before.
What do you mean by second hand? Using
your hands
to wash other things.
Okay, if you don't wash your hands and you wash your face, is it acceptable?
Unless
you wash your hands, you don't wash
your hands.
Yeah, unless you forget. It's acceptable. Your hands are dirty. So I'm saying, all I'm saying is like sometimes when you wash your feet, your hands get dirty. Is it acceptable to wash your hands afterwards? Is what I mean.
No,
okay, the next one is takhlil.
Yeah.
Is takhlil al-asada. Takhlil al-asada. What's takhlil al-asada? We said takhlil al-lihya earlier. You should know these Arabic terms. تخليل اللحية is the first one we did. What's تخليل اللحية? Put your fingers in your beard. تخليل الأصابع, أصابع is fingers. تخليل الأصابع is to make sure the water comes in between the fingers. This is a description of how the Prophet ﷺ used to do it. In fact, they describe how he used to do his foot fingers, his toes. Is he used to take his pinky and put it in between every single toe. In between his feet.
Hands?
Of his hand, yes. I'm not going to take my socks off. No, but here's your foot. Can you like this? You know?
You refresh water every time?
By the lift?
Finger? That's what, you don't have to do it like that. That's a sunnah to precisely do it like he did it.
Normally, you refresh water
Ibn Shaddad. Ibn Shaddad radiallahu anhu said, Ra'aytu Rasulullah sallam yukhallil asabi' rijlay bikhunsari. What does that mean? Ibn Shaddad said, Ra'aytu Rasulullah sallam yukhallil asabi' rijlay bikhunsari. What does that mean? Exactly. That's the description of Ibn. But you know, you can. The point of the sunnah is a takhlil. To be more and more precise, is to do it like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. I couldn't find one if he did it like this on his hands or not. But I'm assuming that he put his fingers. Washing his hand. When you're washing your hands.
I have to
or during that, probably. During.
There's a restriction on each feet that which hand you use. So, yes, right feet or with this hand.
Not that I know of. Not that I know of that there is any restriction on that.
About tahleel yadayn, you do it for the same way or just
so? I looked for a description on that. There is no description. But I'm assuming that tahleel of the hand will probably be easier like this. The leg is probably harder, that's why I use the khumsa of the small finger. But there was no precise description on that.
What was the next one?
Al-Asaba. Okay, how many times do we wash? Six. Number six. Three or one time?
Ordain is one.
the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, most of his wudu was three. Most of the description of his wudu is three. Except, give me the exception.
Ears.
No, don't say three.
One, two.
That's one. No, that's one.
You told me that.
That's one. No, that's one. That's going back like this and back forward is considered one.
Then he had long hair.
But you said, you said I can go this way, come back up, and I told you my hair gets messed up. And so you said you can go back, and that's sunnah.
No, I didn't say sunnah. I said you could probably go back. There's but it's not sunnah. The sunnah is to start forward and go back, and then go back again. That's the sunnah.
It messes up my hair when I had long hair. It would mess up.
Yeah, I'm probably trying to make it easy on you, but it's not sunnah. That's not sunnah. No, it's not.
Okay, we can still do that. It fix my hair.
No, of course not. Of course it's not. But do you use it after wudu? You know? Yes. Fix it, comb your hair, whatever. As part of the wudu, yes. Yeah, yes. Okay. Go ahead.
About we said we wash our mouth and our nose three times. So three times.
With one hand you use it. The sunnah is to gargle with your mouth and nose is the same. Yeah. You don't take special water for your nose.
No.
Yeah.
The same water. But if you know you ran out of water, yes, the mouth and the nose are with the
So part of the water you inhale and part of the water you
enter
your mouth.
Ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu said, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يصل بينهما في كف واحد. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to connect between washing the mouth and the nose with one handful. كف واحد means one handful. So he used to wash the mouth and the nose with one handful. Okay. You should do them all together, the mouth and the nose. Unless you know water left, you need to have your water. Okay. Yes. No. You don't suffer. Allahu Alam. Ibn Zayd, this authentic hadith that the Prophet used to take with one handful for both his mouth and his nose. Okay. Three times, you wash three times is the hadith that's narrated by Amr ibn Shu'ayb that the Prophet ﷺ used to wash three times, and it was the vast majority that the Prophet ﷺ used to make wudu. However, Uthman radiallahu anh said, I've seen the Prophet ﷺ do three times. Other Sahaba used to narrate one, meaning everything one, and everything two. So he did one, two, and three. But if you want the vast majority of what he did was three times. The head is Sahaba. I don't know. Allahu A'lam. Could be right, but it's the vast majority. It's clear that the sunnah is three times because it was the exception was when he did it once or two times. That shows you it's sunnah. And that could be an authentic hadith, I don't know. Okay, number seven is you start with your right. This is a sunnah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, why is it a sunnah? Why is starting with your right a sunnah? Aisha radiallahu anha said, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يحب التيامن في تنعمه وطهوره وفي شأنه كله. The Prophet ﷺ used to like using his right in wearing his shoes and in purification, in ablution, meaning wudu, and in everything else.
I have a question. About that, when you say that we should touch your hand or just make water?
Well, that's my next point. I think we should stop here. I think we should stop there. It's expensive, but that was my next point. We'll do it, inshallah, next week. Mm-hmm. Should we wipe or wash or dent?
Yes,
that's the next point. Remind us, inshallah, next week. We'll get to that. Now, tell us. Let me go over it real fast. The sunan of the wudu, real fast. Number one, we said, Bismillah, although there's a dispute in it, whether it's fard or sunnah. Number two is the miswak. Number three is washing the hands three times. Number four is putting your fingers through your beard. Number five is putting your fingers washing, putting your fingers in between your fingers
and toes.
Number six is washing three times, which is the sunnah, and the Prophet ﷺ did it once and twice as well, but the sunnah is three times because that's what he mostly did it. And the last one we've taken for today is putting in your right. You know, I thought we're going to go to the extent of start and almost prayer. We didn't even caught part of it. So gather, look it over, and check your wudu out. And
I'm having problems if you push your mouth. And you know,
three times. That's Ibn Zayd's interpretation of how the Prophet did it.
You do three times?
Yeah.
If you can't, it's not separated.
Kaf wahad. This is a kaf one. Sister, you have any questions? Hold on, you guys. You guys, just a minute, please. Well, if it becomes necessary, yes, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we don't know if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has to do something like that. Usually if there's anything in the nose, it will come out if you inhale and exhale. But if it becomes necessary, there's something, maybe. That's not part of wudu though. It has nothing to do with wudu. It's a personal preference of one. We're going to get to that. Get to that. Actually, I have some things that I put notes on that what you couldn't do and we're going to do. Be quiet, Muhammad. Huh? Now? Could you please meaning continuously do it? Sure. Oh, you mean not in wudu even? I don't know of hadith that washing the hands in itself is wudu. I don't know of any, even for food. Do you know any? I don't know of any, even to wash your hands for food. Go ahead. For food? I've heard it, but I haven't heard of a hadith. I've heard a lot of things, but I haven't heard of proof for it. But maybe they mean that you should be clean. Yes, that's true, and that's a sunnah, that you should be clean. And if they're not clean and you're going to go to eat, you should clean them. And that's what some of the people asked, told me that they meant, and that's true, that your hands should be clean. You shouldn't have they shouldn't remain dirty. But you can't say in everything, overall it's going to be a sunnah in itself, but it's sunnah because you should have it always clean. Not doing it wrong, but you're missing out on some of the things, inshallah, missing out on a little bit of ajr that you could do. And that's why, if we talk about the disputes of the scholar, like I told you, I went into a little more depth in Michigan in this matter than I'm going through here. Actually, what we've done here, I think it took me 6 or 7 halaqat, what we did today, because we talked about all the scholars. What the scholars said, for example, like Bismillah, I went into depth in their proof in Madhmad and Istinshaq, why they say Sunnah, their additional proof. But I mean, like Ahmed said, I don't think it's necessary to go in that depth, right?
After we know, we can do
it. We take the dispute briefly, I think, is the best way. I said some scholars said it's Sunnah too, but we believe Fard, and I said that's Sunnah. Barakallah fiqh. Any more questions, sister? Answer that, Ahmed. What do we do only one time? You guys, listen. The ears and the hair. The hair is, you go back and forth twice. But it's considered those twice, what, Muhammad?
Once.
No, you do it every time. You're doing it every time. If you wash your face three times, you don't khalil one time. You khalil every time you wash. You may, maybe you choose to do it one time. Once. Takhlil. Khilal means friends. Go ahead, sister. Your next question. Yeah, the rule that apply. He can't kill him, and he's going to get singed for that if he kills him. But we're talking about the hukum. Should he be killed for it or not for it? That's the issue. Of course, he's going to get sinned. If he does it oppressively and wrongfully, he's going to get punished by Allah for it. But we're talking as a judge or as a ruling in Islam or as a hukum, does he get... Guys, just a minute. Yes, sir, Muhammad. Kid. If there's a hukum, the hukum is that he shouldn't be killed for it unless the father intentionally lays him down and cuts his neck. And the only one who said he gets killed for it like that is Imam Malik rahimahullah. But this doesn't matter if he's 5 or if he's 30 or 40 or if he's has a lot of kids and a wife. It doesn't really matter. The point of it is if it gets to a judge, he can't order that he be killed for it. A father killing his son doesn't get killed for that. You know, in Qisas, that's the exception of the verse of killing someone. We said there's some exception. One of them is a father killing his son. And the only one who disputed it out of the four imams is Imam Malik. And he disputed it conditionally. You leave it? Good. You come back next week because we're doing this because of you. I don't know what you suggest. Sister, did you get that? Did you understand?
Yeah.
Okay, yes, question. Okay, JazakAllah khairan, no problem. Do you think we should continue wudu or Yusuf? Wudu or tafsir?
Wudu.
Or rotate it, one week tafsir? Okay, some one of you guys explain to me next week, inshallah, everything we went over in detail. Huh?
Yeah, I think one more.
Yes. Okay, we'll see inshallah.
Okay, that's okay.
Yusuf.